You may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Steve Horvath. I represent Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company. The issue before the court here today is whether the tolling provisions of 8.01229E3 that applies to non-suits gives an additional 6 months to refile a non-suited claim against a contractual period of limitations found in a fire insurance policy that is regulated by the 38.2-2107 Virginia Code. The facts in this case are undisputed. The first lawsuit was filed 3 days before the statute of the contractual period of limitations was run, was non-suited. 1 day before the 6 months expired, the case was refiled, which remained the refiled case was outside the period of limitations. At the hearing, the trial court found that the period of limitations was a contractual period, but went on to find that because under the trial court's ruling, there was no tolling provisions as found in 8.01229E3 contained in the policy of insurance, that the policy of insurance was, quote, less favorable, close quote, to the terms in the standard omnibus policy of 38.2-2105. After that ruling, the court went on to say that the non-suited case was merely an abatement, and the refiled case was basically resurrecting the non-suited case. We challenged that filing separately by objecting to the court's ruling and filing a separate motion, which the court deemed as a motion to reconsider. But the reason why the court was wrong on that, to say that once a case is non-suited and then refiled, is threefold. First, under Massey versus Blue Cross Blue Shield, that same argument was made and rejected by this court. Second, the case law says that a non-suited action, and that's a new action, it stands independent from any prior action. And the court has also said in Temple versus Mary Washington that once the plaintiff took a voluntary non-suit, it was as if the prior action had never been filed. And so the judge's ruling about the abatement issue is just simply not correct. I would note that plaintiff's counsel, the appellee, in their brief on page 2, say that they're not going to respond to that, that they didn't take that position down below, and they're not asserting it up here. They reserve the right to argue it, but there's no case law to the contrary. So that goes to the issue that we need to focus on here today, and that is the issue as to whether or not the period of limitations found in Allstate's contract of insurance is a contractual period of limitations, or is it a statute of limitations. I will tell you that I was citing cases from circuit courts. Circuit courts, except for Judge Dennis Smith, have been fairly consistent in saying that it is a contractual period of limitations and the tolling provisions do not apply.
Is it Massey on its face applicable, since Massey included, Massey involved a statutorily minimum period?
Exactly.
In the opening paragraph of the legal analysis, it was acknowledged, the court acknowledged that there is a statutory threshold, but there was a contractual provision.
That's correct.
It seems as though that point was never really fully appreciated either by the Ellis opinion or by the trial court in this case, that Massey had that. There was a statutory imposed minimum statute of limitations.
Exactly right. In fact, what happened in Judge Ellis's decision and the decision from the Western District is they focus on that last sentence in the opinion that says that since the period here is less than the statute of limitations, it's contractual in nature. Well, that period that the court was talking about was the 5-year statute of limitations for breach of contract.
Right.
And both Judge Ellis and the Western District Judge said, well, it's not the shorter period. They totally ignored the fact that by statute, a health insurance policy is limited to 12 months limitation. That was the shortest period you can make it. Just like what we did, Allstate did here. It's the shortest period that we're allowed under the statute.
So you contractually put out with the shortest possible period in your case, and in Massey, the insurer contractually put out the shortest possible period in their case.
Exactly. It's exactly what happened in both cases. And that's why, with respect to Judge Ellis, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, a very sharp guy, I think he had it wrong. I think that the rule is that it's a contractual period as opposed to a statutory period. The question is, how do you decide whether or not it's contractual or statutory? Well, the first thing you do is the statute of limitations generally applies across the board. If you look at 8.01243, it says in every action for personal injury, regardless of the theory. Or look at 8.01246, in all actions for. Here, we don't have that sort of language in it. Here, we have a regulated policy of insurance and not a general broad prohibition about the timeline for when something should be filed. The second thing is you look to see, is there a separate statute of limitations? And there is. 8.01246 applies to breach of contracts. There is a statute of limitations for breach of contracts. There's not a separate one that says for breach of insurance policies. It says for breach of contracts, and this falls within that. The third issue is, what is the document we're dealing with? It's a contract. This court has consistently said that an insurance policy is a contract, as interpreted as a contract. If it was interpreted as a statute, then the rules of construction would be different than the insurance company's rules. Insurance are construed in order to find coverage. They're construed against the insurance company because they're the drafters of it. But if those rules would not apply if this was a statute of limitations. The next point is that you can waive the contractual period of limitations much easier in case law than you can a statute of limitations. It's very hard to waive a statute of limitations. You have certain requirements how to do it, but here we have a contractual period, and the case law on how to waive that is basically continuing to negotiate with the insured after the time has run acts as a waiver of that contractual provision. If you continue to negotiate a personal injury case after the statute is run, you have not waived it. So there's a different standard there for how it's interpreted. The other thing to look at is the limitation integrated within the overall scheme? And here it is. That's like the cases involving the issue for wrongful death. The statute, the timeline was integrated in there, and because it was integrated in there, they said that is not a separate statute of limitations. 8.01229E does not apply to wrongful death actions. And the final argument is that the plaintiff comes back and says, well, the time period here is the legislature's, and they cite the Ramsey decision, Ramsey versus Home Insurance, and they said the time period in Ramsey versus Home Insurance is not the insurance companies, it's the legislature's that was inserted word for word, line for line, number for number. That's because the Ramsey case dealt with that Form 38.2-2105 policy. It's 170-some lines long, and you still see occasionally some insurance companies use that. They don't use the easy-to-read language. Well, Ramsey was decided in the 60s. That's the form that they had. That's the language they had. That's why that language is in there. And therefore, Ramsey doesn't give us any help. I've attached to the brief some circuit court decisions, which I would suggest I think is the appropriate standard, that this is a contractual period of limitations, that the NASU statute does not apply. It's very clear under the Massey versus Blue Cross Blue Shield, it does not apply. And I ask that the case be reversed and the judgment be entered in favor of Allstate. And I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, John Decker on behalf of the appellee, Jennifer Plutus. In our
counsel, let's talk about Massey for a second.
Yes.
I know that in your brief you made some distinguishing points about why that case doesn't apply.
Yes, Your Honor.
Can you reply specifically to what appellant's counsel's arguments were about Massey today?
As far as this, as far as statute of limitations and whether it was contractual?
Right. I mean, it seems directly on point and controlling to me.
Well, Your Honor, I would say that it's not, and mainly because the Massey case was dealing with a health insurance policy governed under the health insurance provision of the insurance code. Here we're dealing with a fire and casualty provision that's adopted into a property casualty policy. In fact, this court has ruled in the case of HIT Contracting versus Industrial Risk Insurers that the limitation period set forth in 2105, that's 38.2 2105, is a statute of limitations. It's referenced there in that case at page 45. They also rule that the language is required under the insurance provisions of 2100 and 2101, and that the court further ruled that an insurance policy which contains broader coverage than which is required does not remove the policy from or exempt that policy from mandatory provisions. The court has ruled in Ramsey and in HIT, most recently in HIT, which was decided subsequent to Massey, that this is a mandatory provision, it's required by the legislature, and that it is in fact a statute of limitations, not just a contractual provision.
So the policy must include this limitation period.
That's correct. And
why is that different from the situation we have here?
Well, that is the situation. The policy has to include the provision of 2105, which says you have 2 years to bring your case.
But in Massey, you cannot go below the statutorily imposed minimum.
But, Your Honor, I think there's a difference there in that Massey says you can't go below the minimum 12-month period, which covers all insurance contracts, but it doesn't say you have to have a specific period. It basically would allow an insurance company, with obviously insurance policies must be approved by the insurance bureau, but it would allow the insurance company to put whatever, they could put a 5-year statute of limitations in if they'd like. They could put in 3. They could put in 6.
Well, that could happen here too, as long as it's not beneath the minimum.
That's not what this statute says. This statute says a two-year limitation.
So they can't put a contractual provision that goes to 3 years?
They cannot put in a provision that will decrease the rights of the insured.
Okay,
and so I would argue that if you put in, a three-year provision, say, well, you can put in a three-year provision, therefore you can't take a non-suit and get the 6-month tolling, you are therefore infringing on the rights of the insured, which they would have under the 2-year limitation period. That's not something that was addressed in Massey, because Massey didn't address the issue of a specific limitation period.
So therefore, the legislature intended that if insurance companies wanted to provide additional time, necessarily that would be at the price of losing the non-suit tolling statute. Seems like quite a complicated inference to draw.
Well, it also, the legislature, as opposed to Massey, the legislature actually did say this is the limitation period. And if the, and in order to change that, the insurance companies would have to go to the Bureau of Insurance with a new policy and get it approved, and it certainly wouldn't be something that could be negotiated between the parties as a contractual agreement in a timely period. If you're going to buy a policy of insurance to cover your home, you certainly don't want to wait whatever time it's going to take to say, well, we've kind of decided that we want to change this and we've negotiated a contractual provision here that's different than the statutory provision, and wait to get that put in place when in the meantime your home can burn down.
But that complication comes from your interpretation that says that the 2-year statutory provision comes with a non-suit, but a 2-year and 1 month would not, or a 3-year would not.
I think it would come. I think you would still get the non-suit provision, because I don't think you'd lose it just because the insurance company decides to give a longer limitation period. That is my interpretation. of the statute. And frankly, Your Honor, this court has stated that it's a statute of limitations. It said so in Hitt. I don't know how you get past, unless Hitt would be reversed, that you would have a different outcome here. And if it is a statute of limitation, then the tolling provision of 8.01.229E3 for non-suits would apply. I believe that Judge Ellis got it right. To say that this is anything but a statute of limitations because it's been mandated by the legislature would be a legal fiction. And so as far as the argument of the contract, what is contractual and what is bargained for and what is not, the language of 2105 is mandated. However, 2105 doesn't cover every provision that you would have in an insurance company. It doesn't cover coverage limitations, how much is going to be covered. There are certain things in there that still could be negotiated, and yes, they are part of a contract. But as far as the limitation period, it's mandated by the legislature.
The 12-month period in Massey was not a statutory limitation period?
It was a statutory required minimum. It was not a statute of limitations per se. It didn't say you have 12 months in which to file. That's not what the 12-month provision says. It says you must, in your contract for insurance, have a limitation of no less than 12 months.
Why doesn't that simply mean semantically you have 12 months to file it? We don't care what the contract says. As a matter of statute, you have 12 months.
But that's not what the statutory provision
is. Is that what it does?
I don't agree that that is what it does.
So a contract that says you have 11 months would not be invalid?
It would be invalid because you have to have a minimum of 12 months. But if it said you had 13 months, that's a valid provision. What that says is you have to have 12 months. You can go up. You can have more. You just can't have less.
Right.
Here we have a provision that says
you can't get more under this statute.
Not without taking it to the Bureau of Insurance, getting it approved, and allowing for the insured to not lose any of the insured's rights that it has, including the right to take a non-suit. With regard to appellant's argument in Allstate discussing the easy read policy versus what Ramsey was decided on, which was pure statutory language, the insurance companies are allowed to change the verbiage of the language of the policy to the extent that it makes it easier to read. They are not allowed to change the meaning of the words. They couldn't say, you get a one-year limitation period. They can make it easier for the insured to read, but they cannot change what is required by that language.
Counsel, let me ask you a question. You said just a minute ago that you can't have a policy that gives you less rights than you would have under the statute. Is that what your comment you made?
That's correct.
That's not exactly what 2107 says. It says, in no respect less favorable to the insured than the standard policy form. And you're sort of taking a blanket position that anything that would exclude the tolling provision would be less favorable.
Yes, Your Honor.
What if the contract term, instead of being 2 years, was 4 years and 11 months? Would that be less favorable or more favorable than having a tolling provision?
As long as you were still allowed to have the tolling provision of the non-suit statute, yes.
The legislature could have said that a lot more easily, couldn't they?
I probably could have, Your Honor.
Okay.
But that's my position.
So you couldn't give them 20 years. You couldn't say, we're going to extend the possible statutory limitation period, the contractual limitation period, to 20 years. Because they have a right to 2 years with the non-suit tolling. Isn't that the tail wagging the dog?
It may be, Your Honor, but I think we're talking in some extreme hypotheticals, and I certainly, given Allstate's argument on it on the public policy grounds that it states, I seriously doubt you're going to have an insurance company extend your right out 20 years.
Yeah, but legal principles don't get written for one case. They get written for all cases.
I understand, Your Honor. And the stat in the insurance contracts, or this insurance contract, follows the mandated statutory language. It's 2 years. And this court has ruled that that is a statute of limitations. I keep going back to that, but that's what this court has ruled in the past. And it hasn't been reversed. And if you look, if you take that with the reasoning of Judge Ellis and the reasonings in Vaughn and Zeno, it's clear that that the non-suit statute should apply, and you get the tolling of the 6 months in which to refile the claim. And I don't believe this claim is contrary to Massey. I think Massey addresses insurance contracts from other provisions of the insurance code that don't have this type of language mandated. You don't have to have a statute of limitations doesn't have to be contained in 8.01. It can be contained in other places in the code within those sections. And a couple things I'd like to address as far as I don't agree with Judge Smith's interpretation that this was a contractual. I believe this is statutory. And there was quite a bit. If you look at the joint appendix, there was quite a back and forth on that. It seemed a little, you're trying to get the answer someone wanted and finally got the answer they wanted. But I don't agree with that interpretation. I believe he came to the right conclusion. I just think he got there the wrong way. And again, it's because of HIT. And now we've come here to decide or get a decision. All right, do we go the next step from HIT, which says it's a statute of limitations, and then go to, therefore, the non-suit provision of the Virginia Code applies. Your Honor, I believe that it does apply. The last thing I did want to bring up is that the area of public policy, which was never addressed in the circuit court. The first time it was raised was in petition, and there was really no evidence as to how Allstate came to state that you have to limit this to 2 years in order to be able to issue policies. And for those reasons, Your Honor, I would ask that you affirm the decision of the Fairfax County Circuit Court.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Very briefly, counsel suggests that the statute says that this is written under 38.22107, and as the court pointed out, language says that the deviation from the foreign policy is in no less respect less favorable to the insured than the standard foreign policy. You can't have 3 years. You can't have four. I've seen them. There are different time periods that different companies put in there. But counsel's suggestion that everything else has to be the standard foreign policy would create unbelievable havoc, because the foreign policy 38.22105 only covers real property. It only pays for the actual cash value of losses, pay replacement cost benefits. It only covers specific limited perils. All other policies cover all broad form perils. That standard foreign policy has more exclusions. It is so limited in its coverage for the average insured that we would have unbelievable havoc if we tried, we were limited to what was in there. And I think the 2107 very clearly says you can make it as long as it's no less favorable, and therefore that is our contractual period of limitations.
Counsel, address his argument that we said it was a statute of limitations.
Thank you. That was my next point. There's two issues. First of all, in HIT, they did not address the issue that was addressed in Massey versus Blue Cross Blue Shield. I submit that statement as dicta. Did not say this is decided whether it's contractual or statutory. It just says one line in there that it is a statute of limitation, 38.2.21.5. But it doesn't address the issue specifically that the court has forced to address in Massey versus Blue Cross Blue Shield, or that we're asking the court here to address today, and that is whether or not it is a contractual period of limitations or statute of limitations. So this is the first opportunity to deal with it, and I do not believe that that dicta is binding. I would even note that the other courts, the Judge Ellis and the Western District decision, didn't even suggest that. In fact, the Fourth Circuit, after Judge Ellis and after the Western District, in the case of S. Wallace versus Cincinnati, said there's no question this is a contractual period of limitations.
Counsel, let me ask you one question about HIT. You say it's dicta, and you point to that one sentence. But there's also the conclusion. We conclude that the two-year limitations period, which I think is referring back to calling it a statute of limitations. So that sounds like the holding, too. Is it holding or is it dicta?
Yeah, I would say that it's the calling it a statute of limitations as opposed to contractual period of limitations, because that issue was not argued to the court.
Okay.
It was not discussed in any way. It's dicta. And you'll note that Kitt relies on its holding for Ramsey, and they quote Ramsey versus Home Insurance. And that's where the quote comes in, word for word, line for line, number for number. That's because Ramsey was the form policy. If you looked at that case and it said there's 38.2.2105, actually the predecessor statute, but 38.2.2105, and it would have the language in there. And that's all the policy was. I mean, it used to be your policy with insurance was 3 pages long, and that was just the excerpts from the statute. That's what the Ramsey case was. We now are well beyond that. We're now dealing with 2107 policy. We're now dealing with other language. So that language, I don't think, is meant to bar it or decide the issue as to whether it's a contractual period or a statutory period. And even if you go further, under Massey, the court, Your Honor, said that the time period, the shortest time period you can have is 12 months. That was the time period in that. That was not statute of limitations. I think the holding there is controlling. And the court said in that case, for this court to superimpose a very plain statement of the parties' agreement, the statute exemption in cases of non-suit would be to eviscerate the contractual period. Moreover, Virginia Code Section 8.01229E3, by its own terms, operates only to toll the applicable statute of limitations, not to control periods of limitations established by a contract. We have a contract. Our contract was 2 years in there. That controls. And I would ask that the court reverse the decision and enter final judgment in favor of us. Unless there's any questions, let's sit down.
Call the next case.